Okay, I'm going to be reading from Paravipras Have the Quality of All the Active Classes in Society. Paravipras have the quality of all the active classes in society. As explained in the book, though, there are basically five kinds of humans. You can categorize them in a very general sense, not in a dogmatic way, as Shudra, Kshatriya, Vipra, Vaishya, and Brahmin. Shudra means worker, the person who is interested in physical work. He is a person who is mostly interested in day-to-day living. He strives to have his food and a place to live. As long as his basic necessities are provided, he really does not have that much ambition. That is all he wants, just a place or situation where he has his basic needs. The Kshatriyas have the warrior qualities, or are courageous people. They cannot be satisfied with just a little food and a place to live. They want to explore. They want to discover. They are pioneers. They want to go find new frontiers, find new places. Vipras are intellectual people. They like to study, to read, to understand, to go deep into finding different problems that they can study, and to understand what is going on in this universe. They want to know the universe by their minds. Vaishyas are business people. They like to control resources. They want to use economical means to control the earth. They like to control the capital, the workers, and the resources, so they can combine them to come up with the products that they can provide and benefit from. Brahmins are the ones who are mostly interested in understanding the laws of the spirit behind all things, dharmas. They try to understand the relationships between the individual and universe, God and man, and the laws governing these relationships. Each individual might have more than one characteristic of each class. That is, an intellectual person might also have Kshatriyan qualities, or a Brahmin can have Vipran and Shudran qualities. Therefore, there is no clear definite border between the different classes. However, usually a dominating characteristic of one of the classes is present, which the man identifies himself with most. That dominating characteristic represents the class to which that person belongs. It is possible to create qualities of one class if a person desires to do so, but it is very difficult if that is not the person's basic character. It is easier to do if the environment supports such a change, and in that case, a person can adopt the new character with some effort. All these classes are necessary, yet each of them like to dominate society. For instance, in the very beginning, the warrior people were the pioneers. The Shudra class likes to keep everything quiet, like it is. They do not want any person to come and stir up the community. So that is why they do not like to do pioneering endeavors. Yet at the same time, they need protection. They feel they want someone to protect them. They need a leader who will take them to the battle, whether it is battling the animal attacking the tribe or any other enemy. The person who can organize, who can make them follow him, go after him, and make the community feel that there is a father figure there. The warrior class has those qualities. They have the qualities of valor, courageousness, and all those things that most of the people say is charisma. For instance, you can imagine that people in the tribes were afraid of the volcano. Everyone thought it is God, and they bowed down in front of the volcano. Then this courageous or warrior kind of person said, "No, I want to go to see what is up there." All the Shudras said, "No, don't go. You are going to be killed. The god is going to eat you up there." But this warrior type went up there. He looked and saw, well, it is only fire at the top of the mountain. He did not see anything else, so he came back. Then the Shudras took the courageous one to be God, because he went up there and came back. So they started bowing down in front of him and made him a leader. Anyway, this warrior class eventually became stronger and stronger and expanded its area to cover other tribes, then a small territory, and eventually a large territory. So this warrior type of person created a country. That country became powerful, ran over other countries, conquered other people, and he became an emperor, etc. Yet as these types became more powerful and became emperors, they created large armies and they needed weapons. They needed politicians, people who could politically conduct the affairs of the state. The warrior person is not a politician. He is just a warrior and a very respected person. He does not deal with politics. He thinks the force of the army can solve everything. As the territories of these emperors and kings became large, they eventually realized that they needed a prime minister, a wise man. They called him a wise man, but really he was an intellectual. This was a person who could see, think, figure things out about other people, and start the political process with other states. As this position of the intellectual increased in the kingdom, the intellectuals, little by little, became more powerful. The king eventually became a figurehead. The king was the king, yet the person who really ran the show was the politician or the wise person. So the era of the warrior class was transferred to the politicians of the intellectual class. The highest point of that era was the Roman Empire. Eventually, they became so intellectual that they created the Senate and the democratic system. One quality of the intellectual is that they are very individualistic. They want to keep individuality, freedom of expression, and freedom of the individual in the society. The warrior class is not like that. He does not care about individuality. What he cares about is the power of the collectivity. And so there is conflict between the mentality of the warrior class and the intellectuals. Also, the intellectual has an insatiable appetite for pleasure. So whatever power and money they gain, they spend it for their individual pleasure. And as they spend this money, the Vaishyan class or the business class provides them with the commodities that they need. So as they earn the money, they spend it, and the businessmen take the money they spend. The kings in France eventually reached a point where they owed most of their kingdom to the business class, so the business class became more and more powerful. Because they had the resources, they gained the resources all over the world. Europe and the rest of the world became feudal states. Very few people had a lot of land, and the rest were working for them. Even the king was afraid of these feudals because they were so powerful. The zenith, or the high point of this process, was the Industrial Revolution in Europe, when the businessmen came to power. That was the start of the freedom of trade and communism. These are completely opposite ideologies. One says, there should be a free market. We will set the standard on the free market and we will motivate the people to do things. The other one says, no, that is slavery. These two ideologies started having a clash. And so we have two camps on earth, both of them based on business. Business had become the true power on earth because the businessmen are controlling the resources. Eventually, the three other classes, Shudras, Vipras, and Kshatriyas, or workers, warriors, and intellectuals, all become workers, shudras. They all become workers for the business class because the business class has the resources. It does not matter how much education you have. If you do not have money to invest when you come out of school, where can you go? You have to go and work for a company. So you are really the worker in a big company. That is when the other three classes become workers, but the intellectual and warrior class cannot stand this for a long time. Also, if other devices occur, like no intervention of the government with the business class, then eventually very few people will have all the resources, and the rest will not have any. That is a prediction of the communist ideology. That is when the workers will revolt against those few people who have. Since this ideology was explained, the industrial countries have tried to split the wealth as wide as possible, so they never reach the point where that kind of revolution happens. Yet, in Russia at least, and in China, it happened because a few people had the power, and most did not. Eventually, the revolution of the people started. Usually, this revolution happens when the warrior class and the intellectual class become very frustrated with the situation, and they become the leaders of the shudras, workers, and farmers. Then with their leadership, revolution takes place. The moment the revolution starts, the moment the worker class revolts, the class that comes to power is the warrior class, because they are the people who have to calm the masses. The masses do not really have that much of an organization of feeling, so what happens is that the workers start a chaos. For a short time, there is chaos. That short period is really when the worker class becomes the dominating class. Then the warrior class takes over, they create an army, and calm the masses. That is when the warrior class becomes the dominating class, as in Russia and China. It was the warrior class which came to power in the beginning. Now we can see that the intellectuals are emerging. When things start calming down and the warrior class has the power over the people and become comfortable and prosperous, then again the intellectuals start to gain power. The intellectuals come in and start taking over the work of the government. Eventually, they go toward individuality. Individuality eventually will promote businessmen, and the businessmen become powerful. So this cycle goes on and on. If there is not a system that checks this process, this will go on indefinitely. That is where the Paravipras come in. Paravipras are the people who have the qualities of all the five classes, and they understand people in each level. If it is necessary, they can work like a worker. They can take a shovel and dig the ground. They can do anything physically. They also have the quality of the intellectual. They can understand things very well and deeply. They also have the quality of the warrior. They are pioneers. They are not afraid of any new things, any exploration, or going on to new discoveries. Also, they have very good minds for business. They know how to use money. Paravipras are courageous. Sometimes, like a surgeon, you have to cut a disease out of the body to make that body heal. They can take that step and cut out that part which is not good, that has to go. Then after that, that person heals himself. It sounds terrible when a surgeon takes a knife and cuts the other person. It is painful. But what happens after the surgery is done and the bad part is gone? You get healed. You feel wonderful and you can be much better than before. So, also, they have this characteristic with them. True Paravipras are the people who do the work with the business people. They are courageous. They are intellectual. And they are workers at the same time. The base of this ability to go through this struggle is their refined souls, which have evolved through so many reincarnations. They have gone through many reincarnations and have lived in this world in many bodies. The reason some people have different characteristics, different abilities, or are in different levels and can understand things differently is because every lifetime their spirit progressed a little further. In many lifetimes, maybe they were just business people, or just purely intellectual people, pure workers, or pure warrior type. But in every lifetime, they learned their lessons. They learned that if they were only physically good and strong workers, mentally and spiritually, they did not progress as much. Maybe in another lifetime, they were just warriors. They were courageous and all those things. Maybe in a lifetime, they were business people, and they realized how businesses could work, that it could be good or evil like anything else. Nothing is good or evil in themselves, as we have said many, many times. It depends on how you use them. An intellectual person can be good or evil. Even a worker can be good or evil. A warrior can be good or evil. It depends on how you use those abilities. Paravipras are not people who say, oh no, business belongs to the people who do not meditate. It is a dirty thing. There is nothing dirty in this universe. God has created everything good. Business had a good purpose when it was created for humanity, so nothing is dirty. It becomes dirty when they do not use it for the highest thing. Money and the exchange of money between people is to facilitate the trade between them, facilitate the relationship between them, but it has to be honest. There has to be a decision in the community and the society of how much profit is acceptable. Of course, government and the people have to prevent that. The resources belong to the few, and the rest become slaves to those few. If all these qualities are in one person, then he is a paravipra. He is a leader, but that does not mean that he sits up there and he never touches the broom. No, if no one is there to clean the floor, he might do it himself or herself. Not everyone is going to sweep the floors, but if there is no one else to do it, he might take the broom himself and sweep the floor because it has to be done. How we do our part, our dance, is by what abilities we have. However, this explanation should not become a reason to create a caste system, because there can be different types of people within any one family. The purpose of this categorizing is not for humans to look down on each other. The experience in each type is necessary for a soul to progress toward perfection. The best state of society is one in which each of the five active social classes is in a balanced position with respect to the other classes. In such civilization, each class will be complementary to the others, and the progress of the human and society will occur at its highest speed. And that concludes that teaching of the Paravipras. I'm going to release the mic now back to the room so someone else can participate in the sharing of these teachings of Maitreya. All thanks to God.